Welcome to Work of Art, the Mason Gross podcast, produced out of Rutgers University's Mason Gross School of the Arts in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We are a community of nearly 1,200 undergrad and graduate dancers, musicians, theater artists, filmmakers, and visual artists from around the globe. My name is Laurie Granary, and I'll be sitting down with some of these artists, discussing what fuels their curiosity, their passion, and their impulse to make.
It took Kirsten Poswalt a while to admit that she wanted, no, had, to be a filmmaker. She felt pressure to pursue a more practical path and inched her way toward film, from a major in communications to a major in cinema studies, and eventually to making her own films. This transformation hasn't occurred in isolation. Poswalt, who is in her fourth year in the BFA filmmaking program here at Mason Gross, has found inspiration and solace in the work of faculty member Danielle Lesovitz and in the works of filmmaker Eliza Hittman. As she tells it, Hittman validates Poswalt's own experience as a girl in the suburbs. Seeing herself, or a version of herself, has meant everything. Poswalt seems less intent on capturing a subject or a moment in time than she is on offering to viewers a thoughtful, relatively unvarnished observation, one that trusts her subject and trusts the narrative to unfold as it should. This approach, perhaps, mirrors her own life, that pivotal scene that played out over several years, the one in which Poswalt essentially stood up, raised her hand, and finally admitted the truth that she is a filmmaker. And thank you so much for joining us remotely from
thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're grateful to have you. And you know, this is a really, for lack of a better word, it's a really uncertain, amazing time for everybody. But I think especially for students, and first I just want to ask you how you're doing and how your family is doing, first and foremost, before we get started.
Yeah, so I'm actually, you know, given the current circumstances, I feel like I'm doing pretty well. I think when it first all went down in the beginning, it was really scary and heartbreaking. I think once I found out that graduation was canceled, that was really rough, and I had to take some time to think about that, because I think, you know, I had talked about it over class with one of my professors and the rest of the students about, you know, how we were feeling. And for me, it's like a loss of community earlier than expected.
Yeah.
I think we look forward to a lot of the memories that, I mean, I myself, I'm a graduating senior this year. So there's a lot of memories and events that you look forward to in those last months. So I think that was really the most devastating thing to get over, but I've kind of been pretty optimistic about it moving forward, as like Mason Gross has shared the ideas of doing graduation later on, and even like the chair of the film department has reached out about reserving space at NBPAC for the end of September to do our senior showcase. Mm-hmm. And the fact that people are making those efforts and recognizing like the loss that we're going through right now kind of makes it a little bit easier to deal with. And, you know, right now my family, we're doing okay. My mom works at a hospital. She's not a nurse, but she's the director of patient access. So scheduling people, anyone who's coming in and out of the hospital when people come in through the emergency room. So she's like working on site. So we're just, you know, hoping that she's okay and the household is okay. But yeah, I've been keeping busy with school, and I'm also very lucky that I have an internship that is allowing me to work from home during this time.
Talk a little bit about how you are continuing to be an active filmmaking student at Rutgers University. How are you learning? I'm sure it's pretty fluid right now, but talk a little bit about the structure and the medium.
Absolutely. I feel very fortunate because I am one of the people, and I'd say a bit more than half of the senior class right now of film students have shot their film already. That being said, I have been able to spend this time editing. And so right now I'm at the stage where I'm just kind of piecing together an assembly, which is where you're just kind of like throwing it all onto the timeline and then you'll shape it later. So even though I am able to edit, what really stinks is like we are losing a lot of resources that would really come in handy for later on in the process. For example, at Mason Gross, we have a color correction suite and a sound suite with, you know, state-of-the-art equipment. And it's also a place, you know, we use those things to collaborate with people. I myself am not that great at sound, so I have a classmate in mind who I wanted to collaborate with and use the sound suite. And really, every time I think about it, I say like, oh my gosh, those students who had planned to show their work in the gallery, the visual arts students, like the ones who had, you know, theater performances that they were going to do, dance performances. It's like, it's really tough to be an art student right now, because we rely so much, like our work relies so much on sharing it with a community of people.
You know, for people who don't understand how important this communal aspect is, I wonder if you can explain that a little bit. I know a lot of artists feel until a viewer beholds my work, whether it's on stage, on screen, whether it's in a book, whatever it is, it's not finished, right? And I that's the sense I'm getting from you, is that it's not a solitary pursuit. You need the audience. Can you talk about how important that is? Because you've expressed that loss.
It's, you always need to have some sort of deadline so that, and those deadlines are usually built around, you know, the idea of an audience seeing it and it being viewed by someone. So now not having that same kind of like end of year closure has definitely changed, you know, how long I expect my work to take or what I want to do with it. So we really, the way that we work all has everything to do with when we expect it to be seen.
Yeah, I imagine that sometimes more time is not a luxury, that the structure really helps you make decisions.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's what's scary, is because I found myself thinking like, if I don't know when this is going to be seen, like when will I stop myself?
Right. Well, you know, we've been talking about this film. Tell us a little bit about the film, and the genre, and a little bit of what it is.
Yeah. So it's my senior thesis film, and it is about two sisters. One of them's, we don't ever really get down to exactly age, but one of them's in high school and one of them's in college. And the younger one sneaks out of the house to go visit her sister at college, and they're going to have a night out, and the younger sister's really excited, but she kind of quickly realizes that her older sister really carries herself differently when she's around this kind of like nightlife culture on campus. And she finds her sister making decisions that make her a bit less admirable and less of a role model. And the younger sister kind of has to find her own way towards the end. I think the story for me is less about there being, you know, this really clear climax and this really tightly knit story. I've always been more interested, especially, you know, working, literally only having worked in short film so far, I'm really interested in what some people refer to as like a moment in time film, where we just kind of enter into the lives of these people who are the main subjects of the film and we watch them. Because this film takes place over the course of one night, and also my junior narrative also took place over the course of one night. It seems to be so far like a running theme in my short film work. So I'm curious to see, I mean, and it's not something I was conscious of at all. It's just something I realized later, or in retrospect, but I'm curious to see how that will translate into what I hope to be feature length work someday soon. 5-year goal.
So I hear you talking about kind of just dropping in on people, and I'm assuming this is a fiction narrative.
Yes.
Whose work inspires you? Give me an example of someone whose work does this. It's kind of really inspired your work.
There are two directors whose styles and kind of subjects that they choose have been like a huge inspiration to me. I'll talk about Eliza Hittman first because I most recently saw she had a film that came out. Literally, it was in theaters for maybe a week before all the theaters shut down, but I went to a film festival, so I had the opportunity to see it. It's called Never Rarely, Sometimes Always. And Eliza Hittman, this is her third feature, and I've seen the other two as well. And she, like, to my understanding, I don't want to speak for her at all, but to my understanding, these past three films, for me, they've kind of felt like a trilogy, and I think she may have even talked about it like that. But it's about adolescents kind of like exploring their sexuality and kind of dealing with issues of like their own identity. And it always takes place, in the suburbs. And I feel like that was when I first saw her film. The first one I saw by her was Beach Rats, and it just felt like it felt like a world that was so accessible to me. It's about like this young man who's online chatting. He lives like in the suburbs, like on the outskirts of New York City. And I was like, wow, this is also familiar to me. Because one thing I've learned is that I find it really difficult, at least right now in my very young career, to write outside of my own experience. And seeing her kind of like write these things about what I always thought might be mundane, but her making them so interesting inspired me and made me feel like, oh, like there are definitely things that have happened to me or have happened to friends of mine or stories that I know about that I can write and really make interesting. So she's been like a huge inspiration to me, and the style, her style has really made me feel like maybe there is a story I can tell that audiences would be interested in.
So validating
Yeah.
when you have artists like that who are first of all, when you see yourself or a version of yourself, that is so validating. And especially as like a kid from Jersey, and you're saying, okay, this isn't all New York or LA. These are important stories too, out in Monroe Township or South Plainfield. And when you see that, right, it's so freeing, to know that that's possible, and to know that that's important enough to merit film is, I can imagine that must have been pretty liberating for you.
Yes, definitely. And also the fact that she's a woman is really like, wow. I mean, I feel like before I was in film school, I definitely wasn't thinking that much about directors. But then once I started think like I was watching films, but I wasn't always thinking about who directed them. And then I obviously became a lot more conscious of it when I came into college, and it was automatically like, wow, there is such a lack of female directors. Like, do I like who can I look up to? And just like discovering her work was definitely a moment that I will like remember and think about as I like move forward into what really kind of gave me a certain level of confidence to continue pursuing film as a career.
The film that you're working on now, I don't know if you have a title yet, for this
Oh
film.
yes, sorry. I should have mentioned that. It's called Air Mattress.
Air Mattress, that's great. I wonder, talk a little bit about why you love carving out these small slices of time, almost kind of like a Polaroid that's, developing as the film goes on, of this one night, this one moment. What's attractive about that to you?
I think maybe in my own life, when I think about like maybe why I am the way that I am or why I do things the way that I am, I trace it back to certain moments. Or the way I dig into old memories is usually by like a particular moment that I'm remembering something. And I feel like a lot of the ideas for my stories go back to like maybe like a particular like moment in my life. And so then as I'm writing it, I end up writing the story almost in real time. So it ends up just kind of being that one moment that I feel like I want the audience to get something out of.
You mentioned that you transferred. What were you majoring in before?
So I actually transferred quite a few times because I was very lost. I think as a senior in high school, And this is something I'd love to talk about too, is the way I developed confidence over the years, because I think it's I made like a drastic change over the course of all these mistakes that I feel I made. But my dad was always kind of pressing on me the idea of like, you need to get a job, like you need to go to a 4-year college, you need, and then you need to get a job, you have to get a job. And so I really became like super invested and interested in film my junior year of high school, which is, around the time that you're applying to things. But I did not have the confidence in myself or to be like, I want to apply to like all of these film schools and pursue film. So I ended up actually applying to the college that my dad went to. So he clearly had like a very large effect on the way my brain was thinking then. And I know he meant no harm, but and I had they had like a filmmaking program, but I couldn't commit to it. So I just went in as like a communications major. And I stayed there for a year, and then I transferred somewhere else and was because I was so unhappy there, I decided to go into cinema studies because this school didn't even have a film program. So I was just very lost. And then I was so miserable there that I was like, I had always been resistant to going to Rutgers just because it is so close to home. And I thought, like, oh, it's like everybody goes there. Like, I want to do something different. But no, I was like, I'm miserable. I need to go home. So I transferred to Rutgers during the spring, and Mason Gross only accepts applications in the fall. So I was a cinema studies major for one semester while my application was going through, and I got accepted. Wait, so you asked me about transferring. What was the initial question? I'm sorry.
Sure. I just about what was the impetus for transferring? Why you finally decided to do that? Because I imagine your father was still whispering in your ear and telling you to get a job. So what made you bold enough to finally do the thing you wanted to do, say, 4 years into it?
Right. Okay. So I think I was so miserable with what I was doing that at that point I was like, I just need to follow like what I want to do. And I have to say, like, I am so glad that even all those, like, I don't regret any of the transferring, all the nonsense. And I felt like insecure about it for a while, but I am so happy that I ended up where I am because as soon as I started film school, I feel like not only did I learn so much, but I feel like I grew as a person. I was able to develop more confidence, and I feel like I owe a lot of that to the like amazing sense of community that I feel like I have at Mason Gross, specifically within the film program, and even more specifically within the class, like the cohort of students that I came into. I really feel like without the support of the students around me, I would have never had the confidence to like even try to do the kind of productions that I feel like I've been able to do. Not that I've done like the greatest productions, but just like in the beginning of film school, I didn't want to ask anyone to help me because I felt like it was an inconvenience to them. Now in my most recent film, I had like 12 people on my crew. And I never would have thought like 3 years ago that I would have been able to do something like of that scale.
But you talked a lot about feeling miserable. And tell me how you felt when you finally landed in the right place. When you started film school, what happened in your gut that made you realize, yes, this is it. I'm in the right place. What was that feeling?
I mean, I look back to the first year of film school, and I just can't stop. Like it, I mean, because even like with everything going on, I started reflecting more and more about, the journey that it's been, and I just get so emotional because the feeling was like when I was at my university, I was like very depressed. I had like a heavy feeling on my chest every time I had to go to class. When I started the film program, I like jumped out of bed. I wanted to be the first person at class every day. Like we do these screenings on Fridays where all four grades, well, at the time there were only two grades because the film program is so new. Friday at 10 a.m. we go to screenings, right? That might sound awful. I looked forward to it more than anything. I would like show up 9:20. I would be there. I'd say hi to everyone who came in. Like I had never been happier. And I took a class my second semester that was like ended at 6 p.m. on Fridays, and I loved it. I loved going to that class. And I was just excited about what I was learning, and I was excited that the people around me were like interested in the same things that I were doing, and that they also, you know, believed in me. And in the same way, like I believed in them, you know, like we believed in each other and we also learned from each other. I think that first year, as a transfer student, you come in with the freshmen. So for me, because film school, basically I was in class with people who were 2 years younger than me, but I never felt that age gap at all. And I learned so much from them because a lot of them came, or a few of them, a good amount of them came from a high school that was like an art school. So they already knew how to use like a lot of the video editing software, and they were willing to help. And I didn't even know how to use like a nice camera. So it was just like, I felt like an immediate sense of community. Whereas like at my previous school, I felt completely isolated even when I tried to interact with people.
You talked about what you, in the beginning, you called these, all the mistakes you made going to that other school and doing cinema studies. But what's interesting is by the end of your explanation, you didn't call it a mistake. You said you were grateful. And I think so many times we believe that there's going to be a mark on our record, right? Because we changed our minds, and that we should have known. What has made you grateful for all of those, what you might have originally perceived as missteps or delays?
I for sure know that I would not be, I mean, and my close friends will tell you, like, the amount of times that I got really emotional, especially towards the end of the year, and told them how grateful I was, how lucky I felt to have them in my life, and especially when we were shooting something, and I'd be like, thank you guys for coming. I don't think I ever would have, like, been that grateful or been that appreciative. I think I always would have been, you know, happy to have friends and to have a community, but I don't think I would have recognized how special that is and how so many people in college don't have that. So I think that, and I think during that period where I was very miserable, I learned, you know, how to, like, why it's important to, you know, follow what I actually want to do. And I think it was a time where I took, like, risks because I felt like I had no other choice. And I feel like it made me things weren't that easy. Things were not easy for me at all. So I had to figure out how to make it work. And I feel like I was very resourceful. And I feel like that kind of skill is going to be really helpful, especially in filmmaking, where you're constantly running up against battles and nothing is ever going the way you initially anticipated, no matter how much you prepare.
Give me an example of some of the risks you took, because I wonder if in the end, when you're forced to do things differently because of permits or budget or, you know, availability or knowledge, that if you end up coming up with something even more interesting, I guess I'm leading you toward a conclusion. I don't mean to, but to talk about it, I think it's important.
I mean, I think one thing that's really stupid, and I think it came from, you know, I felt really connected to high school still, my first year of college, was I was so worried, and this seems so silly now, and I laugh at myself now, but I was so worried about what everyone was going to think about me if I transferred. They were going to think I failed. They were going to think this and that. And literally, I was so consumed by and worried about what other people were going to think about me that I almost didn't do it. And now that just seems so ridiculous, and I would never, never do that. But I think another risk I took was like, doing film school meant a fifth year of undergrad for me. And that's a lot of money. You know, I take out student loans. My parents help me, but I take out a fair amount of student loans. And by going into film school, I was committing myself to a fifth year of undergrad. That's a year of my life that I'm committing again to school, a lot of money. And that was scary. But now if I had done film school in 2 years, I would have felt robbed. I feel like this year is absolutely essential. And I'm so thankful to have had this extra year to kind of still be in the safe net of school before being, you know, thrown out into the actual world. So yeah, I think that was the biggest thing, was making that decision to do like an additional year. And not really knowing what that meant.
I think that's called faith, right? Yeah, that's huge. That's huge because when you can put a dollar amount on it, then it gets real. One of your faculty members, Danielle Lesseps, was on the podcast last year. One of the things that Danielle said was that people should be willing to fail in film school because you mentioned the net. She said, you have the net. You've got to fail now. You've got to make those big choices. I know that you attended Cannes Film Festival with her last May for the debut of her film Port Authority, and I believe you worked on the film as well. She was really grateful
Yes.
for all of you. She was really grateful for the perspective you brought to the film. Talk to me about the importance of studying with someone like Danielle, studying with a woman who's, who's telling very specific stories, and being given that opportunity to go to France with her.
I could really talk about this forever, but yeah, I just have to say that that was, I don't even think she understands how much that meant to me because the reason, like, what the film that really made me want to get into film was this film called Blue is the Warmest Color, which won the Palme d'Or in Cannes in 2013. And then, like, from that point forward, I was literally obsessed with Cannes. Like, so obsessed, like, following everything, every movie, every picture. Like, it was literally a life dream of mine to go to the festival. So like when she called me, there was this is how it happened. Like she just I was at the library, she called me up one day and was like, hey, it's not public yet, but the film got into Cannes. I was able to get money for you and the other students to go. I just cried and I still don't even think to this day she knows how much it means to me because like, if it had been any other festival, I would have been stoked. But like, this particular festival just meant so much to me. So I just couldn't believe it. So just wanted to say that first. But also, I don't think she mentioned this, but so when the script was still a script and she wasn't in full development, that was the Friday class that I had that was until 6 p.m. So me and three other students did an independent study with her, which was very like, it's not super structured. It was kind of, whatever we were interested in, she was going to do. But, she was working on developing the script then. So we ended up just like kind of not necessarily workshopping it, but we would take scenes from the film and film it, we would take a camera and we'd act the parts and we'd film it. And she basically, I think it helped her a lot too, to kind of see how the lines were working and things like that. So we saw the script from like a pretty early stage. And then, I knew she was going into development over the summer. So me and the other students like expressed interest in working on it. I was in LA, but luckily interning for the summer, but I came back towards the end just in time when they had opened up the production office in Brooklyn. So I worked first as a pre-production intern, kind of just, doing whatever needed to be done, some casting research, they needed to find a truck, whatever. It was super awesome. You're just right in the thick of it. The assistant director's there, Danielle's there, cinematographer's there, seeing everyone work. Then production came around and it started, I believe, the week before school, or no, maybe the week of school, but it was 5 weeks. Obviously, I was in class, so I was able to make it in for 3 out of the 5 days of the shooting per week. And I ended up working a lot in like the costume department. They needed a lot of help. I helped them organize things. I would do what they call like locking up set. You have a walkie-talkie. You make sure like while they're filming, because for an indie film like this, like low budget, there was a lot. From what I saw, like for the days I was there, it was all shooting on location. You had to make sure, and the building might be like open to other people, so you have to make sure no one comes in or makes noise while they're filming. And these may sound like mundane, pretty easy tasks, but for someone who has never been on a professional set before, I can't tell you how much I learned. I mean, prior to that, I would have never, I didn't really have an understanding of what an AD did, of what a second AD did, what is a first team PA. And no one needed to say anything. I just watched. Like we had an opportunity to just watch things in action. So that was amazing. And just
What was
having her
it like?
then.
What was like? You sound exhilarated even talking about it. What felt so amazing about it? Just describe that. Like, what kind of galvanizes you about doing things like that, that some people might feel are mundane, like you said. You don't feel that way.
I mean, maybe it's just because of my love of film and particularly of independent filmmaking, but, and this is going to sound so cheesy, but to me, like, it felt like magic was happening and I was like there to like witness it. I mean, I didn't really get to see closely like the actors acting, but being there and being like, it gets really serious when you see how many people are involved and when you see how much money involved and when maybe you hear, you know, like people getting frustrated because, you know, money's on the line or like we're shooting outside and people are passing through and getting in the way. Like, it just gets real. And like, I didn't think that I would have the opportunity to be on a professional film set at that age. So it was exhilarating to me. I felt so lucky to be there. And like seeing someone who, like, knowing about, you know, her background, how she like, you know, went to NYU grad school, and then just was like working on the script, and basically just hearing from her firsthand about how this happened, how she got the development money, really was even more exhilarating because it was like, wow, this seems more possible now. Like, she, not like everyone has a different path when it comes to how they find money and how they get things made, but, you know, hearing like step by step how she made this happen suddenly makes me feel like, hey, like, this is definitely possible. And basically through the whole process, I just kept thinking, like, it's possible to make movies. It's possible to be a woman and to make movies. It's possible to get, you know, a big name actor like Finn Whitehead to be in your first feature. Like, it's just, it's, she makes me feel like anything is possible.
You know, I hear people say to authors that you need to write the book you'd want to read, the book you need. What is the film that you need to make? What elements does that film need to have? And I know that that answer will change. If I were to ask you this 6 months from now, it may be different. But right now, in this moment, what's the film that you need to see and therefore need to make?
That's tough. I mean, I've been thinking a lot about, because I really, like, as a short-term goal, when I graduate, I really want to write, like, my first feature, and I don't know what that's going to look like, and, you know, they always say, like, your first one's going to be awful, it's going to be trash, but you just need to get it done, like, if you even are able to finish a feature-length script, that's an accomplishment in itself. Haven't started yet, but I've, you know, slowly been, like, thinking about what I want, and I don't know exactly what it entails, but I think something that's really important to me is building like a deep interiority of a character, not through some sort of like conflict that is conveyed through dialogue, but through character behavior and through the way, like, the character, like, for me, like, the perfect short film, and I've definitely not accomplished this with my senior thesis, but the perfect short film has almost like no dialogue, and you're just watching a character be. And that's for me, and I recognize not for everyone, but that's for me like the perfect kind of film. So I want to make a film where you can, like, the narrative tension doesn't come from some big, like, gaping conflict, but through something that's happening within a character. And then for me, like, that often involves like the close up. Like, I think looking at someone's eyes and seeing what they're looking at, that's really what I want. And I think to start, I want to write a story about, because I don't feel like I don't think I've had enough, like, I haven't been exposed to enough in my life yet to feel like ready to write outside of my experience. I think the first thing I want to do is write a story about an adolescent girl in the suburbs and kind of like the issues that she's facing, which is why I've been taking a lot of looks at Eliza Hittman's work and always returning back to it, because I just feel like the themes that she deals with are so much like what I deal with. So I think, for my first feature, I don't know exactly, or for my first feature script, like, I don't know exactly what the narrative is going to be, but I know that I want it to be about like an adolescent girl living in the suburbs. That sounds so boring, but watch an Eliza Hittman film.
For sure. And think of how many films we've had about young men living in the suburbs. So
Very true.
I think this is a niche that needs to be filled. And think there could be a girl out there in the suburbs who will finally see herself. And that's exciting. So look, thank you so much for taking the time. I hope this was enjoyable for you. I know it's a crazy time, so I'm really grateful.
Thank you.